From the Media Factory in the south end of Burlington, Vermont, this is 99.3 FM, WBTV LP, Burlington, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. This is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro. Today on Write the Book, we have our final NaNoWriMo check-in for this year's NaNoWriMo. We spoke once before with the author Millicent Eidson, and today we're going to be speaking with NaNoWriMo participant Raina Pennington, PhD, a former Air Force intelligence officer. She served as a Soviet analyst with F-4 and F-16 fighter squadrons, the aggressor squadrons at the USAF Fighter Weapons School, the Defense Intelligence Agency, and the Alaskan Air Command. Her primary research interest is Soviet military history, especially women in military history and aviation history. Her publications include Wings, Women, and War, Soviet Airwomen in World War II Combat, and Amazons to Fighter Pilots, a biographical dictionary of military women, as well as numerous articles and book chapters. She has received 3 awards for outstanding teaching. When we spoke, I began by asking how many times she has participated in NaNoWriMo. I hope you enjoy our conversation.
I started in 2014.
Okay.
I have to count these out. So I guess this is my 9th one.
Wow. And have you written a book each time?
No. I have one. I've done 50,000 words each time, but all on the same 2 books.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool. All right. That's great. Now, are those the books that I see that you've published, 2 books, Wings, Women, and War, Soviet Airwomen in World War II Combat, which was part of the University Press of Kansas Modern War Studies series. That's hard to say. And then Amazons to Fighter Pilots, a biographical dictionary of military women.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Greenwood Press. So were those NaNoWriMo outputs? No.
They
were done before.
Yeah, that was done before I started all this.
Okay. When you've done the 50,000 words a year, which books were you working on? Nonfiction or fiction or what?
One of each, and mostly on a novel. And I don't know if you want a little bit of background on that, but
sure.
The novel I'm working on is actually the whole reason I went to graduate school and became a historian in the first place. I started this novel in 1990 when I was between my Air Force time and I didn't know then what I was going to do next. And I had come across this information about Soviet pilots in the Second World War, and the fact that there were a lot of women among them. And I found that really interesting. So I decided to work on a novel. I didn't get very far at all. And then I ended up going to graduate school. Everything went on the back burner. And that I had 8,000 words on this novel that just sat around for 20 something years. And then in 2014, I had a sabbatical. And I decided I could take a month from the sabbatical and do some work on this novel because I heard about NaNoWriMo. And I thought this would be a good way to see if this thing has legs and if I can take this anywhere. So I did. So I was kind of a rebel from the very first NaNoWriMo because I already had 8,000 words, which I didn't count towards my 50,000. And, you know, it wasn't much. It was just, you know, notes and scenes, very, you know, minor stuff. But what I realized, and of course, 50,000 words is never a novel. I mean, that's rarely going to be a completed novel. I don't know if you've been able to accomplish that. When I got 50,000 words in on that first NaNo in 2014, I realized a couple of things, which, you know, I was going to have to do a whole lot more work. And I needed more characters, more main point of view characters, because the main person I was focusing on dies in 1943, and I'm trying to stay true to her actual experiences. So then I started going back every year, and so I added another character, and then I realized there was more characters I wanted to add, so I was doing different POV characters every time I went back. Now I have 6, and I feel like they're all essential to the story, and I've got 280,000 words on
oh,
this.
Wow.
And it's probably going to be a trilogy or carved up in some way. But, you know, every year after 2014, I was working full time again. And it was, you know, I got my 50,000 words, but it was really hard to do anything the whole rest of the year. So the whole thing just went back on the shelf, you know, for 11 months out of the year. And then for 1 month, I'd spew out, you know, as many words as I could get and then forget it again for a while. So, you know, now I'm into, I really need to like edit this thing and make these words make sense. So that's why, you know, this year I'm a rebel. I'm just editing. I'm counting hours instead of words and just trying to actually get this into a reasonable structure.
Yeah, that's very similar to what I'm doing this year. It's a wonderful motivator, I find.
Yeah.
I do think the 50,000 word thing, I think, is a realistic count that you could actually do in a month if you worked your bum off. But I also think then, everybody's supposed to revise afterwards. I don't think NaNoWriMo expects you to then take this piece of work and submit it to agents and editors, although some people do, and I think it's a mistake. So how's it going for you this year? Are you enjoying it? Is it going well?
Pretty well. So, you know, I kind of had my main goal, my dream goal, and my I'd be happy with this much goal. So the low end of that was 100 hours. I'm counting 500 words per hour of editing. A lot of people count 1,000 words an hour, but I felt like that was, I never wrote 1,000 words in an hour. So I'm trying to stick more to my own writing pace.
That's good.
So I figured, you know, if I got 100 hours in this month, I'd be happy because I was gone the whole first week of November. And 150 was what I was hoping for. I think I'm going to come in somewhere around 120, 130 hours.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. So how do you normally work when you're not doing NaNoWriMo and you are writing? And I know that you had a career, and so that kind of, you know, as for many people, makes it kind of hard to write at all. But when you're not doing NaNoWriMo, are you devoting a lot of time now these days? Do you think you'll keep going in December with this kind of pace?
Not with this kind of pace exactly, because this is really not quite sustainable for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm finding out more about that and getting burnout a little bit. But no, definitely my whole goal for this whole next year is just to work on the novel and get this thing off my desk. But this is not natural, you know, for me. And it's like you said, I think it's motivating, and it's just knowing that there's, you know, what, 500,000 people around the world that are all doing this kind of thing, that really kind of creates an atmosphere that I like a lot. Yeah. But, you know, in other ways, NaNo is really unnatural for me, at least. It's not at all my normal writing style. I normally have structure first and all my stuff ready to go. And I write, you know, straight through the book, more or less. And now I've just, you know, just spewed words everywhere. It's like having quilting squares. And I've been cutting and cutting and cutting. And I just like, I'm in this hoarding room of quilting squares, and I don't know how they go together yet. And so at some point I'm going to have to start, you know, dividing it up into multiple quilts and probably throw some out. And, you know, but that's where I'm trying to go for this next year.
What you just
got
said
all the squares I could ever use.
You made me think of Lucille Ball's knitting that sweater. Do you remember that
sweater? No, I don't.
Oh, there's an I Love Lucy episode where she's going to make a sweater, I suppose for Desi, I can't remember, and it just it gets away from her. It becomes this huge thing. Anyway, it's pretty funny. Yeah. So do you follow every rule when you're doing NaNoWriMo? Do you not, obviously this year you're being a rebel, you said, but when you've done it before, do you work to meet the daily word counts? Do you check in with them or anyone? Do you use their website and resources?
Yes, more or less. So the years that I was actively adding to the word count, I did try to shoot for that. I don't know if you know of a website called Pacemaker. And it's a great program because you can go through and tell it which days you can't work and which days you can do more. And it'll then sort out targets for you.
Nice. No, I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah, that was really a great one for me because, you know, my schedule was always, you know, teaching some days and grading some days and other days that were free.
What were you teaching? I'm just curious. Sorry.
Military history.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And Russian history and military history was my thing. So, but November is a terrible month for this, you know, as many people have noted, you know, most people, because they don't like to mess with Thanksgiving. But for me, it was because all the draft, you know, research papers were coming in and a heavy, heavy grading load in November. So very happy to not have that on my back this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I always had to, I couldn't just consistently do the same thing every day. I always had, you know, peaks and valleys a lot with what I was working on.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. That definitely. I mean, that's why I like the motivation though, because sometimes the valleys just overrun the peaks for me. So, so when you finish spewing words and you have all your quilt squares, what are you going to do next? You're just going to spend time trying to figure out how it all fits together. What's your revision process like?
Oh, on this novel? Yes. And I'm going to try to fit it all together. So I've been looking at some things like story engineering. I don't know if you've seen that. You know, most people know about Save the Cat. That doesn't really work for this project, but story engineering is kind of similar. So I'm trying to figure out with all these multiple character arcs and, you know, people who die at different points in the novel, how to structure those arcs within some larger arc. You know, for either a series or, you know, some fat novel. So I've been going through and trying to figure out where those things are.
Okay.
And that's been a bit of a challenge.
Yeah. Now, you and I met through, I think, the Burlington Writers Workshop, because I put out a request to see if any of their NaNoWriMo participants were interested in talking to me. And thank you for saying yes. So what is Burlington Writers Workshop doing for NaNoWriMo, and how do you participate in that?
There's some active forums. So they've got a forum within the NaNoWriMo website. And then they've got discussion groups on Discord, which, I'm just not as crazy about the interface on either one of those compared to the early years of NaNo. The forums were just really vibrant. I don't know if you experienced that. And they had their big website change, and, you know, some things are better, but other things to me are not as good. So the community aspect is one of those things. The early NaNos, there were some nice write-ins, and I attended a number of those. Although where I am here, there's a lot less of that than what you have in Burlington. Mm-hmm. And this year, there's really nothing local that I could find out about for in-person meetings. And I don't find for the editing stuff, I'm doing the online sprints and are not really that helpful. I was going to try to make it to one or two of the library sessions. I figured I'd just take my stack of editing and watch everyone look askance at me editing when you're never supposed to edit during NaNoWriMo. But, you know, I can't drive in the dark, and most of these things were in the evening, so I didn't make it to Burlington for that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think they also have another month that's NaNoWriMo that's about revision?
They have two months. NaNo runs Camp NaNoWriMo in July, April and July.
Oh, okay.
I think.
All right.
And those are a little bit more free form. You can kind of set your own goals. I haven't done one of those, but maybe I'll give those a shot this year.
Okay.
It's a different, smaller, more intimate kind of setup and a lot more free form, you know, so you don't have to feel like you're the evil, nasty rebel for not actually writing new words on a page on a new idea and a new project, which I've never done since my first NaNo, I guess.
I know. I actually am acquainted with an author, a very successful author, who starts a lot of her books during NaNoWriMo every year.
Yeah.
T. Greenwood, Tammy Greenwood. She does that. All right. So let's talk about the books that you've published. I'm just curious, what was your approach to writing those books? You said that you start with structure. And then also, what was your publishing journey like for those books?
The two published books are academic. So the first book actually was based on my master's thesis, and then my PhD dissertation I haven't published yet. That's on my list of new projects to do after I finish this. I had the MA thesis. It was a really big MA thesis, kind of And it was just in great book shape, and I didn't have to do a whole lot to it to get it ready to publish. And I had a great press and great editors for that one. The other project was I got roped into editing, you know, this dictionary, which is great. I'm very proud of the final product, you know, but dealing with that, I think I had 130 contributors and people all over the world. And, you know, that really was a herding cats kind of thing that I wouldn't really want to do again. And I'm working on another nonfiction book, What Russia Can Teach Us About War. That's also been kind of in the works off and on for several years because, again, heavy teaching schedule. You know, people always think, oh, you've got the whole summer off. But really, 3 months is not very much to do a book, or at least the kind, you know, most of my research is in Russian language materials. You know, so there's a lot of logistics and overhead in getting through all that. So I ended up doing a whole lot of articles. So I've got a lot of articles and book chapters that I did after the first couple of books, because that was all I could really work in and have something finished to look at. And the way that my institution works, you know, there was more rewards for doing short pieces and not many to support you on a big, long project. So I retired and now I can just do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. What about the current situation in Russia? Are you writing about that? Do you?
No, because I'm a historian. My specialty is the Second World War, and I never comment on current events if I can help it, because, you know, I'm not really in the loop on a lot of that material. It's just, you know, I'm going to retitle my second book something about What Russia Can Teach Us About War. It was never meant to be in a good way, because most of what Russia can teach us about war is negative lessons that they learned.
Right.
But that's not clear in the title to most people. So, you know, that one's going to need a new title probably. But now there's going to be a whole new section of that to deal with.
Sure. Well, I wanted to ask you what you most like or recommend about doing NaNoWriMo, and what about it has been the greatest challenge for you over the years you've been doing it?
Well, the greatest challenge, like everyone, is just time and, you know, working it in around other obligations. And I guess that's the challenge, you know, for any writing project at any time. And it's just that NaNo brings things into sharper focus, and maybe you drop some other things in your life, you know, like cooking and cleaning while you're doing it. And it kind of shows you what you can do. So the benefit to me the first time around was really just showing me what I could do when I had that kind of a focus. So the advantage is the community and meeting people that are similarly trying to do things. And then there's all kinds of groups within NaNo. I'm sure you've seen, you know, we've got a veterans groups for those of us who are veterans who are working on novels. There's a, you know, people over 50 group that they used to call like the geezers or something. And somebody objected to that. So now it's just over 50. And then there's lots of other specialty groups for just people that have a particular community or a particular genre or things like that. So that can be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I learned a lot about writing tools. So I discovered Scrivener. Now I do everything in Scrivener. I discovered Eon Timeline, which, you know, for both fiction and history is just like, I don't know how I'd live without it now. And as I said, Pacemaker for scheduling. So there's just a few essential for me software tools. And I've been using those for all of these years now.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Well, I want to just thank you, Raina, again for speaking with me today, and good luck with NaNoWriMo this year.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. Anything that brings more attention to different ways of writing, I think, is wonderful.
From the Media Factory in the south end of Burlington, Vermont, this is 99.3 FM WBTV LP Burlington, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. This is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers, and that was an interview with Raina Pennington. You can learn more about her work at Raina Pennington.com. Her first name is R-E-I-N-A. And yes, I have a cold, but it is just a cold. Raina Pennington suggests writing with the same implement that your character might write with or have written with. Not all the time, but at least once give a quill a try, or a fountain pen, an old manual typewriter, an electric typewriter. In Raina's case, her characters in the pilot seat had to write on rough paper with a pencil sharpened with a knife. Her pilots had this strange rough paper that they had to use a pencil to write in the cockpit, and they would have to sharpen it with a pen knife, and then they would have to fold it into a funny little triangle in order to mail it because they didn't have envelopes. So she finds this an original way to connect with her characters, and I thought that was pretty cool too. Good luck with your work in the coming week, and tune in next week for another prompt or suggestion. I would love your feedback about the show. Let me know if you have events to announce. If you like the show, please rate it where you get it. Like it on social media, talk about it. If you don't know how to get the show, you can find it on most podcasting sites and just subscribe and they will send it to you. Or you can stream it at 993wbtv.org. Be sure to tell your friends about Write the Book and about the podcast site, writethebook.podbean.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other podcast sites. You can access the podcast at my own website, shelaughswithoutus.com as well. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro. You've been listening to Write the Book. This is 99.3 FM WBTV LP, Burlington, Vermont, streaming online at 993wbtv.org. Stay well and have a great week.